Amen. Boy, that ought to be our desire, hasn't it? Amen. To be on higher ground. Amen. If you got your Bible, you want to turn to John chapter number 4. John chapter 4. I love that song. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Amen. I think a lot of people have gotten satisfied in their Christian life. They've gotten stagnant. And we ought to be wanting to gain ground for Jesus. Amen. And bring Him more glory and honor. Now, this text that I'm reading to you is very familiar. But I'm going to preach topically tonight. And be honest, it might not be a lot of preaching. It may be a little bit of teaching. It's not anything new. It's not anything amazing. But I think it's an essential truth and very needful in every life. I believe every life needs this. And we'll see it here in our text if you'll look with me. John chapter 4, verse number 20. John chapter 4 and verse number 20. Now, this is the woman talking to Jesus. This is the woman at the well. She said, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." I'm going to stop reading there. And I guess you probably know the topic. I'm going to preach on worship. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for the reading of the Word of God. I thank You, Father, for this story of the woman at the well. And as I touched on it the other day, just alluding to it, Lord, I want to thank You that although she had tried many different men and she had been through many different situations, she never found peace until she found the Lord Jesus. And Lord, that when she came to Him, she was able to leave her bucket at the well. Lord, You made all the difference in her life. Father, I want to thank You that in my life, Lord, there's a day when I came to You and You made all the difference in my life. By Your grace, Lord, You satisfied me in my spiritual man. And I want to thank You, Lord, for that. Help us, dear God, that we'll live for You in a way that would let our light shine, that men might see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Lord, I pray You'd help sinners to come to Christ. Saints, dear God, to be strengthened. Lord, please teach us to worship and You get the glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I'll probably not be real long tonight. I'll depend on how many rabbits I run. But I'm preaching on the thought, biblical worship, what it is and why it matters. You see, the Lord's talking to this woman. She's the one brought up about worship now. If you were to look back over the scriptures, Jesus is asking this woman for water. She said, you're asking me, you're a Jew and you're asking me. And she goes through all this thing and He talks about giving her water that would cause her not to thirst again. She said, you don't have a bucket and the well is deep. And she goes through all this. And so He said, go get your husband. And she said, I don't have one. And He said, well, you told that right. You've had five. The man you're with now is not your husband. And she starts then getting real religious. She said, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And then she goes in from talking to him about being a prophet. She goes in to talk to him about worship. And as she deals with him about worship, he then approaches her about worship. And he says to her plainly, ye worship, ye know not what. Amen. He said, more or less, and if I could say it kindly, he said to her, he said, ma'am, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know the first thing about worship. I'm convinced that there's a lot of people meeting in buildings across our land, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, throughout the week, and they think they're worshiping. They have no idea what worship really is. Amen. And our Lord dealt with that with this woman. He said, the hour cometh and now is that true worshipers must worship the Father, or shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. So God is interested in worship, and He longs for worship, and He wants worship, but He wants it only in the matter of the way that's right, which is in spirit and in truth. Amen. It's not just in form, it's not just an outward show, but it is from the heart, and it is in spirit and in truth. Now, having said that, I've got a lot of things written down in my notes, and I'll try to expound from them and give you a thought, and then we'll go to the house. We talk about worship at church. Sometimes we encourage worship. Amen. I like Brother Sammy said. He said if it starts to break out, you see a fire break out in the congregation somewhere. He said, if you see me looking for something, he said, I'm not looking for water. I'm looking for gas. Amen. I'm looking for some gas to pour on that. Amen. One fellow said this. He said, you don't have to be worried too much about strange fire. He said, most Baptist churches got plenty of wet blankets sitting around. Amen. Put out anything that gets out of hand. I guess that's probably right. Now, I'm not talking about strange fire. I am talking about real worship. We talk about it. We encourage it. We believe we worship when we come to church. And sometimes we actually do worship when we go to the house of God. Amen. Now, I personally believe that one of the greatest failures of modern Christianity is the failure to worship as we ought. Amen. I would like to lead us, if I can, in a thoughtful examination about what worship is, and trust in them that that'll lead us into a thoughtful expression of worship. Because if we'll get to thinking about God, I said it earlier, we'll start thanking God. Amen. You get to thinking about the blessings, they sang the song. You get to thinking about how big our God is, and it'll cause you to want to bow down and worship Him. Amen. If He'd ever just show up, we'll all fall on our face. Amen. And say, woe is me, if His train just filled the temple. Amen. Brother Hall and Mrs. Hall had the privilege in the last little bit to go out west, and now he's talked about some of the sights they saw. One of the things that he's mentioned, and I've seen pictures of this, and that's all, that's close I've got, but about the Teton Mountains, the great majesty of those mountains, and how they just rise up seemingly out of nowhere, and got all the snow and the beauty and all that stuff that's there. I'm telling you, from just seeing pictures of the majesty of creation, almost makes us awestruck to the point of bowing down and worshiping. Amen. But can I tell you, that's creation. Think about the majesty of the Creator. Amen. The one that made it all. The one that carved out the rivers. Amen. The one that spoke it into being. The one that did it all. And so if we can see Him as we ought to see Him, and we'll think about it right, we will express worship unto the Lord. Amen. Now, I'd like to try and determine what biblical worship is and what it is not. And I'll say this, things like singing and preaching, praying, going to church, all those things in themselves are not worship. Amen. These may serve to stimulate worship. They may be carried out in a spirit of worship, but they are not worship in and of themselves. It is possible to go to church and never get to God. Amen. It's possible to sing and never get touched by the Lord. It's possible to pray. You go through all the motions. And I'm afraid a lot of times that's what happens. People get in dry formality. By the way, I'm against formality, but formality in an independent Baptist church is just as bad as ritualism in the Catholic church. Dead, dry, dull formalism helps nobody. Amen. And so I want to think about this thing about worship. And what is worship? If these things that we believe to be worship are not worship, what is worship? And I say that's a good question, and I hope to try to find some answers in the sermon. Now, this text that I read you is a familiar text, and I'd like to give you a synopsis, if I can, of a general overview of what worship is, or just a general summary of what worship is in our text. I want to call your attention to the word worship. I read only five verses. The word worship in those five verses is there in some form at least 10 times in those five verses. That word there in each of these that appears in this passage is translated from the Greek word proskuneo, And it literally means to kiss toward. To kiss toward. It's Strong's number 4352 and says it comes from 4314 and a derivative of 2965. It means to kiss like a dog licking his master's hand. To fawn or to crouch to. That is literally or figuratively to prostrate oneself in homage. To do reverence and to adore. Amen. Amen. It is always, this word is always translated worship every time it's found in the King James New Testament. Matter of fact, it's found 60 times in the King James New Testament, and it's always translated worship. There are Hebrew words that are interchangeable, but this Greek word is only used for this one English word, worship. This word is used of the ancient tradition of a person kissing the hand of a superior. We've all seen pictures when men would take a lady's hand and would kiss the lady's hand. But there was times gone by when the king would reach out his hand and they were to kiss his hand. You've seen the Pope has people kissing his hand. He's not like Peter. Peter, when they bowed down to him, Peter said, "Get up. We're not angels. We're just men like you are." Amen. And the Pope claims he's following Peter. He ain't following Peter. He's following Lucifer that says, "Go ahead and bow down to me." That's who he's following. Amen. But that tradition of kissing the hand, whether it be men kissing ladies' hand or even men kissing men's hand, it was an act of worship. It was an act of honor. It was an act of respect. A person would bow down to the ground. They would bow their head and they would kiss the hand of the one who was superior to them. Amen. It's also used in the sense of bowing down and prostrating oneself. A person would bow before a superior to show honor, a sense of respect, a sense of awe, a sense of reverence, and a sense of homage. He would bow to that one that they respected. Our English word worship comes from the old Anglo-Saxon word worthskap. And it actually refers to someone's worth. How much they're worth. Amen. You ever heard that old saying? So you talk about somebody's wealth and they say, "How much are they worth?"
Right.
Well, they're not worth any more than you're worth. Amen. Their soul was worth Jesus going to Calvary. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. But in their body, in themselves, they're not worth more than you. But what they're talking about is their wealth. And they're talking about their status in life or their status in society. And so it deals with the worth of a person. When it comes to God, it means this worship means we ascribe to God His worthship. Amen. We show that He is worthy of our praise. That's what it talks about in the book of Revelation. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." Amen. And it goes through all that list. Why? Because Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Amen. Jesus Christ is worthy of our praise, and God is worthy of our praise. And that worship is the worship that we give to Him. We show that He is worthy of our praise. Amen. It means that we state and affirm His supreme value. His supreme glory. Amen. When we come to church, for example, we have different people that we honor. And there's an honor system, and there should be that. You should respect the brethren. Amen. You ought to be willing to shake hands and smile at the brethren and be glad to fellowship. That's part that we do together. There's something right about honoring those in authority. There's something right about honoring the men of God. There's something right about honoring those that do service in the house of God. But all of what we come here, the worthy one, there's only one that's worthy. Amen. And that's Jesus. We come to worship Him. Amen. We may honor others, and their honor is worthy in that case, but there's only one that is worthy of worship, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself. Amen. Amen. Now, when we apply all these images to our relationship with God, it simply means that we humble ourselves and we give glory to God. We humble ourselves and we give honor to God. We show reverence to God. We show awe to God. We do homage to our God. Amen. Now, if you come into the house of God and you don't pay attention to what the Lord said. Now, by the way, I appreciate people paying attention to me, but it's not me that you need to be paying attention to. It's the Spirit of God that speaks. Amen. There's been times I have known in my own life as a boy that I might not have been looking the preacher in the eye, but the Holy Ghost was speaking to me in my ear. Amen. And I want to tell you, you ought to be paying attention to the Holy Ghost. He's the one that is due our attention, our honor, our all. Amen. A-W-E, all. Our all. And then our A-L-L, our all. He's worthy of it. Amen. He's worthy of it all. Amen. And so we're to give Him our honor. We're to give Him our respect. Amen. Amen. Well, I'll say this. When we gather here, we're not here to honor the preacher or the singers or the church members or the church building or even our traditions. Amen. But we're here to humble ourselves before our great and glorious God. We're here to give Him the glory He deserves. Isn't that right? I don't believe it's right to come to church to, quote unquote, get a blessing.
Right.
Well, to come to church to give a blessing. Amen. To give unto the Lord. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Is that what the Bible says? Amen. And our Lord taught us that. And so we ought to give honor unto the Lord. We ought to come before God every day. I believe every saint ought to come before God every day somewhere, whether it's here, at home, or wherever. It might be down behind a stump somewhere, behind a log somewhere. But there ought to be somewhere where you go and get along with God and get a hold of God and give God glory, give God honor, and give God praise that is due His holy name. Amen. Someone has said, and I didn't look this up to see if it's right, and I don't know, I guess could find out if it's right, but somebody said that there's over 87 Hebrew and Greek words that are used to describe the concepts of praise and worship. They said that there are over 600 references to praise and worship in the Bible. Well, there's a lot, I know that. Worship literally fills the pages of this book. Amen. In Genesis, for example, in the very beginning of Genesis, Adam and Eve sinned. You know why? They failed to worship correctly. They thought they deserved to have their way rather than God deserving to have His way. All of a sudden, they thought they were worthy.
Right.
Amen. Rather than God being worthy. And so they took away, stole from His glory, amen, and took away from His glory and from His honor that was due His holy name, and they sinned, amen, and they went their own way. Then in the book of Revelation, you can see the curtain pulled back, and we see worship in the book of Revelation clearer than we see it anywhere else. Amen. We see worship going on in the heavens and how that God blesses there. And we see that heaven and earth gives us a glimpse of pure worship going on in the glory world. Amen. All the way through the Bible, we see scenes of worship. And I believe it's good. And those are recorded for our help. They're recorded for our understanding, and they're recorded to help us know what worship is and what worship is not. Amen. Now, let me say this, and I don't just have point 1, 2, 3, 4 like that, and it's just thoughts I'm just throwing out there that's on my heart, and I pin these things down. I believe worship is the absolute non-negotiable for the Christian life. In other words, I believe that worship is a necessity for the spiritual man. Amen. I believe it is a necessity. Matter of fact, I'll go so far to say the real Christian must worship. I don't believe that a spiritual Christian, a spiritual person, can not worship. Amen. Worship to the believer is like the engine in the car. Amen. Amen. Worship to the believer is like the mainspring in your watch. Amen. Worship for the believer is the most important and the most essential element in our life. Amen. It doesn't matter how you dress if you don't worship. Amen. It doesn't matter how clean you live if you don't worship. Amen. There are people that's going to go to hell that live cleaner than anybody we know, and yet they've never come to Christ, they've never accepted Christ, and they're going to burn in hell, and their clean living didn't help them much. Amen. I'm for clean living. Amen. I'm for clean living as clean as we can get it. Amen. But I'm saying it ought to come out of a heart of love. Amen. Ought to come out of a heart of worship. And I believe that's what's necessary and that's what's missing in the day we're living in. Amen. You take people that are in a church and they hear preaching. For example, preaching tells them how to dress, how to live. And they may submit to that until they leave that church or until another pastor comes along that don't hold it exactly like they held it. All of a sudden they find liberty. All of a sudden they have relaxed standards and relaxed ways of going. You know why? Because it wasn't in their heart. It was not an attitude of worship. It was an attitude of do's and don'ts. Amen.
Right.
Well, I'll say this. It is as natural for the Christian to worship as it is for a person to breathe. I believe that's right. For a Christian to live without true worship is like a fish trying to live without water. It's like a bird trying to fly without wings. It's like a house trying to stand without a foundation. I just simply say I believe worship is essential to all we are and all we do as believers. I believe that's right. That's why it's important that we understand what biblical worship is and why it's so vitally important and so vital in our life. Amen. Now, I want to give you some possible definitions for what worship is and show you some Bible and then go on from there. I'll say it this way. When I say I'm going to try to give you a definition, it's because worship is a term that defies description. For example, I mentioned about those Teton Mountains where the Hall and them saw. They can show you a picture. They say a picture is worth a thousand words. And that's probably right because he could tell you words, she could tell you words, and it'd be hard to describe if you've never seen anything like it. Amen. You're trying to tell, how do you explain to somebody how something smells? How do you explain to somebody how something tastes? We were talking about that in there. They say it tastes like chicken. Almost everything tastes like chicken, so I'll just eat chicken. Amen. That's what they say. And they're trying to, and what they do is they find something that you are familiar with, and then they try to give you something that you can compare that to. And so that's why they say it's like that. But can I tell you that worshiping God is incomparable? There's really no way that I can describe it. The only way you'll ever know what worship is to experience it one time. Amen. And if you ever experience it, you'll never forget it, and you'll never get over it. Amen. And when you get around real worship, you'll know the difference in real worship and false worship. Like there'll be a mile's worth of difference between the two. Amen. You'll be able to sense it. You'll be able to know it. I believe the spiritual man, matter of fact, the Bible talks about that God is a spirit, and that Holy Spirit that lives in me and you, he's seeking such to worship him. But a lot of this stuff going on in the name of worship, the Holy Spirit don't have anything to do with it. It repulses him and grieves him, amen, rather than brings him glory and causes him to rejoice, amen. So it's hard for me to give you an adequate definition for what worship is, but I'd just like to take a stab at it and show you something that I hope would come close and something that I hope might help you to see and at least reach for and hopefully grasp what real worship is. Amen. When I think about it, trying to do the impossible to define the word worship, the best definition I ever read, I think, comes from a man by the name of William Temple. And I'll tell you this, William Temple was Archbishop of Canterbury from 1942 to 1944. Now, having said that, I do not recommend many of his opinions, nor do I recommend his religious denomination. But he had a wonderful definition of worship. I'm going to read it to you, and I may have to read it a couple times for you to get it. I want you to listen to this. He said this, worship is the submission of all of our nature to God. To worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God. It is to feed the mind with the truth of God. It is to purge the imagination by the beauty of God. It is to open the heart to the love of God. It is to devote the will to the purpose of God. And all this, gathered up in adoration, is the greatest of human expressions of which we are capable. Amen. Hey, if I could say it, here's the scriptural, the best scriptural definition. It is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. I believe that's the best definition definition I can give of worship. But I want to read what he said. He said, worship is the submission of all of our nature to God. To worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God. To feed the mind with the truth of God. To purge the imagination by the beauty of God. To open the heart to the love of God. To devote the will to the purpose of God. Amen. It's just to fall in love with Jesus. Amen. Brother Hinkle Little used to say this when I was a boy. He said what worship is just scrooching up close to Jesus and loving on Him for a while. Amen. Amen. Warren Wiersbe gives the definition of this. He said, the believer's response of all that they are, mind, emotion, will, and body, to all that God is, and all that God says, and all that God does. Amen. I like that definition too. Amen. It is the surrender or the believer's response to all that they are, mind, emotions, will, and body, to all that God is, and all that God says, and all that God does. Now, these are wonderful attempts to explain what worship is. I want to give you another statement that I think might help us on that. Thinking about the difference in praise and worship. Some people think they're the same. They're not the same. Praise is the outward. Worship is the inward. For praise to be real, there's got to be an inward worship. Amen. For that outward expression to have meaning, there must be an inward expression. I'll give you an example. Fellas, you can bring your wife roses all day long, but if you don't love her from your heart, those roses mean nothing. They're just flowers that'll die. Amen. Amen. And I could turn the thing around. Ma'am, you can cook for him all day long, but if you don't love him, I mean, he can go to the restaurant and get food. Amen. My point is that heart is the worship, and then the outward is the praise. Praise may involve any or all the following. Praise may involve singing, shouting, laughing, squealing, clapping, running, leaping, crying. Praise may involve all of those or any of those. Amen. Praise may be the outflow of worship. I believe it is. But praise is an outward expression of an inward emotion. Worship is an attitude. It's an attitude of submission of heart and surrender of will. I want you to get a hold of that in just a minute. When there were even devils that came up to the Lord, men that were full of devils that came up to the Lord. You know what they did when they came in His presence? They bowed at His feet and they worshiped Him. You know why? They were showing that they were submitted to Him. There's a submission. Now let me see if I get that again. It's an attitude of submission of heart and a surrendered will. That person, Jesus is going to cast those devils out. It's not that the devils were submitted to Him, although they are in subjection to Him. And when He says, get out, thank God, they have to get out. Amen. Jesus never met a devil He couldn't handle, thank God. Amen. Amen. We may meet some devils we can't handle. The disciples met some devils they couldn't handle. But Jesus never met one He couldn't handle.
Right, amen.
He's Lord of all. Amen. That's right. Those devils have to surrender to Him. Amen. But when those men came and bowed down, they were showing a surrendered heart and a submitted will unto Him. I'm telling you, that is an act of worship. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter number 22, and I'll show you the first mention of the word worship. It's not the first instance, but the first mention of the word worship. Genesis chapter 22. You know what happens in Genesis 22, don't you? That's where Abraham takes Isaac up on the mountain. He's going to sacrifice him in worship to God. Genesis 22, verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. He said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. I'm going to stop just a minute and say this. A burnt offering is a completely consumed offering. Abraham's going to give Isaac. He's not just going to give Isaac part way. He's going to give Isaac all to God. That's what he's after, all right? Verse number 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And come again to you. Now there's a lot of symbolism in that story, and I love to preach that story. I'm not going to take the time to do it tonight, but I want to zero in on that phrase. He said, I am the lad, will go yonder and worship. Now God had told him what to do. Give his son. His only son. You say, but Abraham had another son. He had Ishmael. Yeah, but God wasn't counting him because he wasn't the son of promise. This is the only son that the promise could come through. Amen. It's all of Abraham's hope for God's word to come true was wrapped up in this son. And God said, I want you to give him to me. I want you to trust me with him. And Abraham's going up to the mountain. And when he sees the place, the Bible says, and most people think that place is Calvary. Amen. That he saw the place. He saw the mountain. And when he got there, he said to his servants, he told them to stay down there, the young men. And he said, you abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. I want you to notice they're going to worship. I want to ask you, what did they intend to do? Do you think Abraham was going to go up there and just go, woo, over killing his boy? No. Do you think Abraham was going to go up there and jump up and down and shout and run laps? By the way, I believe he did do all that. When he realized his boy was spared, I believe he did do all that. But that wasn't in his mind. When he said, I'm going up there to worship, you know what he was saying? He said, me and Isaac are going up there, and Isaac and I are going to give God exactly what he's worth. We're going to give him our all. And if Isaac's got to die, Isaac's willing to die. If I've got to give up my hope and my plans and my dreams, I'm willing to give them up because God is worthy of me giving them up. And that's worship. He had a submitted heart and a surrendered will. And he's willing to do whatever God said do. And that was worship. Amen. And God smiled on his worship. Amen. Amen. God blessed his worship. You know the story. And God sent that ram up the other side. Amen. I heard Brother Milby say one time, he said he believed that, there's a ram started up the other side. And somebody said to that ram, said, where are you going? He said, I don't know. I've got a funny feeling that I just need to go up here to the top of this mountain and ram my head in a bunch of briars. Abraham looked and saw him caught in the thorns. Amen. Amen. You've heard it. That ram had a crown of thorns on his head when Abraham saw him. Amen. And he saw that ram. He took that ram. God gave himself. By the way, Abraham said, God will provide himself a ram. Hey, Abraham knew I can trust God. I don't know if Abraham knew God. I personally believe Abraham thought, I'll kill Isaac. I'll burn Isaac to a pulp. And somehow God's word's got to come true. Somehow God will raise him up. Somehow God will work a miracle. Somehow God will come through. But he said, although I don't know and although I don't understand, I'm going to obey because he is worthy. Worthy of me obeying. Amen. He is worthy of me obeying. Worship is an act of the will that surrenders to God's great authority, submits to God's great direction, and trusts God's great grace. Amen. I'm going to say that again because that's a wonderful definition. That's one God gave me. Worship is an act of the will that surrenders to God's great authority, submits to God's great direction, and trusts God's great grace. Amen. Worship, here's another definition I think goes along, and I'm explaining how we worship. Worship is the overflow of a grateful heart under the sense of divine favor. Amen. Amen. Worship is a spontaneous event. I've been sitting in a place, and somehow the Lord, and I can't explain this, you can call me whatever you want to call me, but I've been in a place, and somehow the Lord showed up. Amen? You've been there? And maybe it's because I was thinking on Him. Maybe it's because of a song that I heard. Maybe it was because of an emotion that came over me. But somehow God breathed through that place. God showed up and all of a sudden my heart overflows. I can't contain it. I can't keep it down. I can't put a cork in it. Amen. I can't stop it. It's going to bubble up from within. It has the idea of boiling over. Amen. And that worship comes forth. My heart starts bubbling up with the glory of God. Amen. And God bubbles it up and it gets bigger than we are and we can't contain it. That's real worship. It's the overflow of a grateful heart. Amen. True worship does not have to be pumped and it does not have to be primed. It is the outpouring of a heart filled with a sense of God's goodness, grace, greatness, and glory. Amen. One more place I'll have you turn. I may maybe one more. But look at Psalm 45. Great verse of scripture right here. You probably know it right off. Psalm 45, verse number 1. The psalmist David knew something about praise. He knew something about worship. Psalm 45. This is one of the psalms for the sons of Korah. It says it's a song of loves. Look at verse number 1. The psalmist said this, "My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." He goes on to brag on verse 2. "Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever." Who's he talking about? He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He gets to thinking on the Messiah. He gets to meditating on the Messiah. That word indicting, it means to keep moving. That's what it means. Keep moving. He said, "I'm thinking on this. I'm meditating on this. I am contemplating a great matter." It also deals with a boiling pot of water, and it has the idea of boiling up and bubbling up, boiling over. Again, that is the idea of worship. David, as he reflected on the glory of God, as reflected on the beauty of the Messiah, David said, "My heart can't contain the glory that I feel down in my soul." And my heart starts bubbling, and my heart starts burning, and my heart starts boasting in the Lord. Amen. David reflected on the glory and the majesty of God as He revealed it in creation. The glory and the majesty of God as He revealed it in His Word. And the glory and the majesty of God as He revealed it in salvation. David's heart began to boil over with love and praise unto the Lord. Amen. When his heart is filled to overflowing, worship ascended to God. Amen. You may worship without ever saying a word. Amen. You ever heard those saying, tears are a language God understands? Worship may just be expressed in tears. Worship may just be, I've worshiped and I just got to laughing. Amen. And it wasn't that kind of, you know, that laughing revival stuff where you roll around on the floor and act, you know, like that, just laughing on silly stuff. I'm giddy. I know, Brother Hall, I know you understand it, because I remember that night in January last year, that vision. We got giddy in the house of God just on the love of God. It just got to being so big and so precious and so good that honestly, we just got giddy on it. Amen. 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 That's worship on the inside, and it produces praise as it comes out. But I want to say this, worship inside you may cause you to praise, but your praise is to be intended to give somebody else an opportunity to worship. Amen. Praise is not get people to look at me. Praise is this, if they do look at me, they say, "I am giving glory to God." Amen. I am praising the Lord and giving glory unto Him, not unto myself. Amen. And so we see it again in the Scripture. Psalm 23, verse 5. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." That's that worship inside. Get to thinking about God, the goodness of God. He said, "God, you give so much to me, I can't contain it. You give me so much, you've blessed me so much, I cannot contain it," and it's got to run over into somebody else. Amen. And it don't hurt to drink out of your saucer every now and then. Amen. Because your cup is overflowed. Worship is the overflow of the heart. heart filled with the glory of God, the heart filled with the glory of who God is and what God has done, causes the heart to overflow. Amen. When we stop to reflect on Him, we stop to reflect on His power, His grace, His love, His mercy, His salvation, His Word, and a host of other things, we get to thinking about how good our God is, how big our God is, how many times He's come through for us. Amen. How many times He's answered prayers, how many times He's been good, and the goodness of God. I'm telling you, the blessedness of God, the majesty of God will get bigger than we can contain, and worship will be the result of thinking about God. Here's my last phrase of definition. Worship is my entire being given honor, adoration, and glory to all that God is. It's my entire being surrendered to Him to give Him glory and honor and adoration for all God is. I asked Brother Steve right before service if we knew that song. Isaac Watts wrote that song, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross on which the Prince of Glory died." As He says, help me, somebody help me with it. That next, the rest part of that verse. I know the last phrase, pour contempt on all my pride. There you go. My richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Worship is recognizing how great God is, how little we are, and yet how much He loves us. That's worship. Amen. Amen. In conclusion, I'll say this. Some people bow down to rocks, statues, and animals. Others give worship to themselves. They worship their family. They worship their possessions. Some worship their church, their favorite preacher, or their old moldy traditions. The truth is, everybody gives honor and respect and adoration to someone or something. Amen. And I ask the question, to whom or to what do you give honor and glory to? To whom or to what do you give your worship? Is your worship God-focused, God-directed, and God-centered? Or is your worship self-focused, self-directed, and self-centered? Or is your worship religion-directed, religion-focused, and religious-centered? I want my worship to be to God. Abraham said to those men, y'all go and stay here. Y'all can stay here. But me and the lad, we're going to go up yonder and worship. And then we'll come back. Amen. Listen, every time we come to the house of God, we ought to have the goal to worship. Amen. Whether it be in the song, amen. Whether it be in the preaching service, whether it be in the testimonial service. By the way, testimonies are praise, but the praise is an outgrowth of the worship in the heart. When we come to the house of God, we ought to come to worship. I challenge you to ask God to help you worship in a way that's right. I'll throw this in, I'm going to quit. I got two or three more little things to say, but I want to say this. Sometimes I'm guilty, and I suspect you are too. Most humans have this nature. Sometimes I'm guilty of stifling the worship. I mean, I like to see somebody get happy, but I don't like to see everybody looking at me. You ever felt like, what will they think about me? Huh? Well, he didn't act like that last time he come to church. You know, you hear all this kind of stuff. I ask you this. If the Lord spoke to your heart about this matter of worship, if your worship's not all that you want it to be or all that it should be, if it's not pleasing to the Lord, you ought to seek the Lord and ask Him to help you in your worship. If you're like me, you'd like to deepen your worship, you start by bowing your heart to the Lord and ask Him to fill you with His goodness and His glory that you can experience that worship that you desire. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed as we get a song and get ready for invitation. Just preached on worship. Biblical worship, what it is, and why it matters. Worship is important. Who you worship, how you worship is important. But I want to encourage you, worship the Lord thy God. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all that is within me. That's what the psalmist said. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. That is worship. Surrendered. A submitted heart and a surrendered will. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for the privilege of being in the house of God to think a few minutes on this thought about worship. As you spoke to that woman at the well, she didn't know what she worshiped. She didn't know who she was talking to. But when you revealed yourself to her, Lord, when you said, "I that speak unto thee am he," changed her whole outlook. All of a sudden, she left her water bucket. She forgot her thirst. She left her sins. And she ran into the city and told those men, "Come see a man that told me all that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" She worshiped. She praised. Dear God, help us. Teach us, Lord. Teach us to worship Thee. I believe, dear God, that worship will strengthen us for the journey. As Brother Buren Hastings used to say, worship takes the strain out of service. Dear God, help us to worship. Work in the invitation. Please save some sinner. Draw the saints unto you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. While we sing, if you need to come, do business with the Lord.